What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Heavy trials and temptations is their trouble anyway. We should never be discouraged. Amen. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden? Come, burdened with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Thy friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Amen. Thou wilt find a solace there. Are we weak and heavy laden? Come, burdened with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Thy friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arm He'll take and shield thee. Take it.
Sense, I'm sure that's your desire this evening, to take it to the Lord in prayer. Let's get into the Word a little bit. It's a good idea. Maybe we'd come to prayer this evening. I don't know about you, but I really do feel like it's time to pray. You know, you come from the week. You come from the battlefield. You come from the pressures of this life. It's a wonderful thing to have an opportunity to put yourself before the Lord once again. Let's open James chapter 4. We'll take our thought from there, verse 6 and verse 7. James, our good brother, chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7. The principle of the word, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. resist the devil and he will flee from you. Is that not a wonderful thing? The next verse says, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. We'll take our thought from there. We'll take that thought from verse 7. We'll take it as submit and resist, which is the two things if you want victory. We've got to submit ourselves to God, and we've got to resist the devil, and he'll flee from us. Let's bow our heads. Father, what a needy people that we are. And Father, we express our need unto thee once again. Father, we just want to come, Lord, Father, in the midst of battle, once again, to gather at your feet. Father, you are the chief commander. Father, you're the one who raises the battle standard in this age. And we just want to gather ourselves together around your raised standard once again, that you may be better equipped as we come to the end of the service. Father, that would be our desire. Not that we might hear something that will tickle us or something that will just make us happy, but Father, our desire in being in this place is that as we go from this place, each of us would be better equipped. That, Father, you would have led us and guided us, Lord, and done something for us. Do pray for Brother Maxwell. I pray for the sister. Be with them upon this evening, not able to make it. Think of Brother George. Father, Sister Lana, bless them as they've traveled. And the rest of your people, we give them into your hands. Waiting upon thee at this time, calling upon your name. Bless your word to us. Guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So James is really exhorting us there. A real simple principle, you know, and all of these things in the Bible, when it speaks about spiritual warfare, you'll find if it's Paul, if it's Peter, if it's James, they all use military terminology. You'll really find so many times in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul, when he's speaking of the whole armor of God, everything which is said and spoken of in the scriptures to do with warfare uses the terminology of the military, showing that it's a warfare. You know, I've read it once before that this quote, it says, to be a Christian is to be a warrior. The good soldier of Jesus Christ must not expect to find ease in this world because it's a battlefield. His occupation is war. So our occupation, we may go to work, we may have to do this, that, and the other, but the Christian walk is continually warfare, and you know it yourself, especially in this age that we're living in. You know, the prophet says in the message, how can I overcome? He says, we see this age we're living in. It's one of the grandest ages of all ages. There's so many good things that are available to the believer. He says, this Laodicean church age is the grandest of all the church ages because it's the ending of time and the blending in of eternity. And then again, it's the greatest sinful age. There's more sin in this age than there's ever been. And the powers of Satan is many times harder to fight against than it was in any age. So this is a real warfare to be in this age. That's why the Lord has raised a standard and He's given us a word. He's given us a spiritual armor in this age, which is exactly what is required to overcome the conditions of this age. But let's not forget the conditions of the day that we're living in. In Isaiah chapter 60, when the prophet preaches Shalom, arise and shine, for thy light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. But darkness shall be upon the people, gross darkness. So there's a real, real darkness in this age that we're living in. If you just look at the way that people behave, you look at it in the music, you look at it in the types of films, the fashions, we look at it in, you know, the laws which are being passed. Each of those is a manifestation of a real great darkness. There's a real gathering of darkness. And the prophet says, before the breaking of the day, it always is darkest just before the dawn. He says, because the darkness congeals itself. At the coming of the light, the darkness like gathers itself together because it knows the day is about to dawn. And that's why you find that before the breaking forth of anything, it's always going to be darkest just before the dawn. And as we wait now for the great breaking of the day into the millennial age, this darkness that we see all around us is a confirmation, a proof to us that the light has come. Because the darkness is just pressed together and is so much more concentrated in this age than in the ages gone by. And God has put us in this age that we are to face up to the conditions of this age. And that darkness, if we give it an opportunity to, it's an oppressive darkness. Now, just this week, I was in contact with Brother Wilmore, and he had said about the oppression of these days and about work and the pressures of work. And then Brother Francois said the same thing. And then, you know, I spoke to different people this week and everybody is saying the same thing. Brother James Machaya was saying the same. There's just certain seasons when you feel it in the spiritual atmosphere that there's an oppression. And the devil, he knows what he's doing. When you find the devil draws near to bring oppression, to bring warfare against you spiritually, although he disguises it in different ways. Now somebody will just say, I'm really feeling depressed these days. Let me tell you the scriptural terminology of a medical condition called depression. It's spiritual warfare. It's the oppression of the enemy. It's this great gross darkness pressing down upon people. And that's really what people sense and they feel inside of themselves. But you find when the devil sends an oppression, there's no coincidence in what he does. He has his strategies and his plans. And when you find there's something comes in a certain season, pay heed. Because the devil knows why he's coming at that time. He chooses his times very, very carefully. He chooses the way that he attacks very carefully. Remember in the scriptures in Matthew 4 when Jesus came fresh from the Jordan. He came from his baptism. Straight away he met the enemy in the wilderness. And there was the different forms of temptation that Satan undertook and underwent to try to find the weakness, if he could, in the armor of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, having come from such a spiritual blessing at the Jordan River, the fullness of the Godhead descending bodily upon him, the voice from heaven speaking, the witness of John, who was there. It was a great, great blessing that he had just received. And straight after the blessing, he went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And I'm sure you found it just like me. Our weakest times are normally times after spiritual blessing. When you find that you've had a real spiritual blessing, the Lord has raised you up a level, or the Lord has established something inside of you, the Lord has taken you through something, and you've come from there enriched in your Christian experience, be careful. If you remember that brother who came, Brother Andrew Beecham once, he said it, I never forgot. And he says, after times of spiritual blessing, it's like we put down our guard. You know, we become careless many, many times. And that's what the devil is waiting for. Satan never came and attacked Jesus straight at the Jordan when he was full of the Spirit. When he came out there, he waited for him out there in the wilderness until he had been 40 days and he hadn't eaten. And then he came and said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. He's an opportunist, the devil. He waits for the opportunity. You know, look in Ephesians chapter 6, just before what we've read there, when Paul speaks about it. Now, Paul, we know that when he was arrested and he was in prison for all those years and he wrote his epistles, the Romans, they would chain you or handcuff you to a soldier. So Paul would all the time be with a Roman soldier. And he'd be really looking at the armor of this man. You know, and Paul would show now the military terms in the natural and he'd bring it to the spiritual and speak about the whole armor of God. But the scripture we really wanted to have a look at there is firstly verse 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now we've looked at that before. That word, it's the way we get our word method. It's methodeia. That's what the word is. It means Satan is very, very particular in what he does. Now the devil doesn't just shoot things in the air and hope it's going to hit you. He doesn't do that. He has strategies, real technical strategies. That's what it means. It's a military term, meaning like a battle plan where you're studying your enemy. You're probing your enemy and you're trying to find the weak places in his defense. You're trying to find his supply lines. You're trying to tap into his lines of communication, his intelligence, whatsoever that you can do. You know, you're trying to find the best way to overcome this foe. And after a while, when you study your enemy and you maybe get a hold of, you know, you put spies in his ranks or whatever, you get intelligence about the strengths and weaknesses of your enemy, you then put together your plan of action, you put together your battle plan. And it's a very particular plan. And certain people have to be at certain times and coordinate with other people. It's not just something haphazard in warfare. It's very, very detailed and very particular. And no two battles are the same. Now, the way that you fight this battle is going to be different than the way that you fight the next battle. And that's the way it is with the devil. Now, one person once said, I think it might have been Brother Jeff Jenkins, he says, you know, if you went down there into hell and you went down into the regions where Satan gathers together with the powers and principalities that rule this earth, and if you went inside of them, you listened to their great meetings of strategy and their planning of how they want to unfold this gross darkness upon the earth. If you went inside of there, you'd be surprised to find that there's a file with your name on it. And that's the truth, because the enemy's been studying you. He's been watching you from when you were young. He's been watching you and probing your weak points and seeing where your strengths are. And as a believer, once you came out of his ranks and you enlisted now in the ranks of the Lord Jesus Christ and you put on this whole armor of God, more so at that time, the devil pays attention to you. And he starts now, him and whoever demon forces and demon powers are delegated to watch over you. Because you know the Bible says there's powers and principalities. The prophet says there's powers over cities. There's powers over nations. So you'll find there's the prince of Persia. You find him there, that demon power in the book of Daniel. You'll find that there's the prince of Babylon, the one that's in charge of Babylon, is a real powerful spiritual being. And then it comes down in the ranks, the powers and the principalities that are spoken of. But there's demon powers that are delegated to you just as much as there's angels that are sent to guard you and protect you and encamp around you at the same time. And those forces of wickedness, that evil intelligence that is against you and I, it studies us very carefully. Amen. It studies us as individuals. It studies you in the home. It studies you as a church. And in each place, the conditions are different. The prophet says, if you get out there in the wilderness, he says, there's very little darkness out there. Now that's why he says you love to go hunting. You love to get away from civilization because there's very little of that demon oppression, that demon power over there. But when you come into the big cities, he says, that's when you find there's a conglomeration. Yes. That's what he says of wickedness, of evil. There's prostitution, there's drugs, there's violence, there's all manner of evil gathered together in a concentrated space. And we as the sons and daughters of God occupy that kind of space as well. So you find there's a gross darkness, he says, over the cities. And friends, like I've said before, especially over Ireland, over countries like this that have been under such a darkness for centuries and centuries and centuries, there's a real oppression. That's why you find many times people come from great revival, say in Africa, different places, and they come to these places like here, and it's not the same because there's an oppression. I remember when we had the outreach that year with Brother Tom and he came with his church. And so many of the brothers after that from Northern Ireland, when he spoke to them, they said, yeah, it's tough down there in Dublin. They all said the same thing. They said, there's an atmosphere there that's not easy. And you go and witness up there in Northern Ireland, it's far easier. You know, and you come down here and there's something here and it's a spiritual atmosphere. But the good thing is that God prepares his people for the conditions which they need to face up to. But the point of it is that the devil studies you and he studies me. And the devil holds off his attack. The Bible says, after Satan tried to attack Jesus in the three manners of temptation, you know, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life, it says that he withdrew from him for a season. You see, the devil withdrew. He couldn't overcome him at that time. So the devil withdrew to wait for a better season, a more opportune moment to strike. And he changed his tactics as well. That first he comes against the Lord Jesus Christ with the word. And then he starts to see that the word's not going to, he's not going to overcome him with the word. Because Jesus was the word himself. And then he comes in different forms and he comes through the Pharisees and the Sadducees and they try to trick him with questions and they try to trap him in different ways. You know, Moses said this and should we pay tax to Caesar? That was all the devil trying to probe and find a weak point. Try to find some way to get past the armor, the spiritual armor that Jesus had on. Until finally it came to the hour of darkness in Gethsemane, where it was the devil's time. And Jesus was committed now into the hands of the powers of darkness. And that was the season that the devil was always looking for. Not realizing that what he was about to do was the very purpose that Jesus had come from. But that is how the devil works. He studies, he watches you. The prophet says Jesus' weakness was his hunger. And that's why the very first thing that Satan came to Jesus, turn the stones to bread. And you and I, we've got our weaknesses as well. Because none of us are altogether perfectly strong in all directions. Because none of us are the Word made flesh in the way that Jesus was in that sense. And every single one of us, there's certain places that we've got to cover, we've got to keep guarded. And I'm really amazed at how many times, I say it to my shame, I'm sure you'll say it the same, but how many times I find the devil will get me in a certain line. Maybe not in the line of open sin, but he'll like tire you out. He'll wear you down in a certain way. You know, and he works with what they call the war of attrition. Attrition is when you slowly wear down the opposition. You don't come in an all-out attack and try to just like blast him at once. You realize, I'm not going to overcome him like that. I'm not going to overcome the enemy like that. But you try a little bit here and wear somebody down there and wear your enemy down there. And, you know, cut off his supply lines a little bit there. Make sure he doesn't get enough resources coming to his front line here. Try to isolate this and isolate that. And just gradually wear down the power of your enemy. Like the Cold War was like that. It was never an open war, the Cold War. Each of the forces was trying to wear down the other one. America would make more sophisticated missiles, and then Russia would have to use its limited resources to do the same. And it became a great battle where they were trying to wear each other down, yet they never shot a missile at each other. And that is the way many times the devil works with us. He knows exactly how to deal with us. Then so many times you come back to the same place and you say, buddy, I've been here before. You know, I've been in exactly this place before. And you go back to the Lord and you say, but Lord, help me to learn. Help me through this once again to be better equipped. Help me to better know my enemy, to better understand the strategy that he's got against me. Because friends, some of us, the prophet says, money, woman, popularity. If the devil knows you don't have a problem with women, he's not going to worry much down that line. But if the devil knows maybe you're a sensitive sort of a person, he's going to pour it in there. He's going to bring criticism. He's going to bring this, that, and the other. He's going to try to bring discouragement. He's going to work down that way because he's seen that it worked before. He knows that's the line that I'll try once again here. And friends, we need to learn. Like the Bible says, we are not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant of his strategies. And each of these times, I believe it equips us better each time. You know, and the prophet says the real key to it is when you're going against your enemy, when he puts in a blow, you got to learn to quickly recover. You know, like when you were a young believer and the devil would put in a blow, you'd be down for a long time. You'd be licking your wounds, feeling sorry for yourself, saying, I blew it. I don't think the Lord will ever deal with me once again. But you quickly learn, no, just get back up again. Because a righteous man, though he falls 7 times, he gets up again 7 times. And the quicker you can learn to absorb the blow and get back into the battle once again, the better. Because the best form of defense is offense. You don't want to be on the defensive all the time against the devil, friends. It's a dangerous place to be. There's seasons, yes, devil's going to take you unexpected. And you're going to be on the defense. But no army ever wins a war by being on the defense. You win a war by being on the offensive. By taking your enemy by surprise, by attacking in a way that he didn't expect, at a time that he didn't expect, in a place that he didn't expect, taking your enemy by surprise. And as believers, that's what revelation does to us. It gives us the edge over the enemy. Because the Lord can move us by his Spirit here and there, and we can do things that surprise the devil because he didn't see it coming. But many, many times, like I say, after those great times of spiritual blessing, you find the enemy comes in. The prophet preaches the seals, March 63. Standing in the gap, June 63, July 63, 4 months later. Is that not amazing? He's just received this great, powerful, redemptive revelation, the opening of the seals. All the intelligence of the enemy, all the secrets of his plans and his purposes through the ages has been unveiled. And the devil doesn't leave it like that. He starts to work on the prophet. He wants to, like the prophet says, to knock out that confidence that God has established in you on the weekend. He says, watch out on a Monday, the devil's after you. If you've had a blessing and a good time, and you've got some spiritual momentum going, one thing the devil fears in a believer is spiritual momentum. He doesn't mind you once in a while that you get up and you run around and you do this and that and you go back to sleep again. The devil doesn't fear that. But he fears a believer that's got momentum. Amen. When he can see that you're not what you used to be. That you're getting somewhere. That you're maturing. You're going forward. You know, you're becoming wiser. You become more streetwise in a spiritual sense. The devil hates that. And one man once said, and it's true. He says, those pirates of old, when they would be out there in the southern seas, wherever it was, they would never bother themselves with that ship that was empty, that was heading into the harbor. They'd never attack those ships. They'd wait for the ship to get full of good things, to pack itself up with treasures and riches. And then when that came out of the harbor, that would attract the attention of the pirates. And it's the same as the devil. The moment he saw the Lord Jesus Christ coming out from the Jordan, he said, yay, I've got to do something. He attracted his attention. And it's going to be the same in your life. The moment you start making spiritual progress once again, the moment you start getting the blessing in your soul once again, the moment you start getting refocused in your calling once again, you're going to attract the attention of the devil as sure as the world. And he's so cunning the way that he comes in. You know, the way that he wants to hinder your progress and frustrate you and make you feel, but hey, I really sought the Lord that time, but it came to nothing in the end. You know, he wants to make you feel like that, that all that you've done, it was in vain. You know, that you've just come back to where you were once again. That's really how the devil does it. Amen. Now listen how the prophet speaks about it. He says, this is from the Message, Questions and Answers, 1961. He says, the question is it possible for a Holy Ghost-filled person to be influenced to do minor things that he doesn't want to do? I'm surprised some people even ask these kind of questions. But it's good because the prophet already answered so well. Because, I mean, any believer knows that, hey, this is a battlefield. Yeah. You know, you're never always going, you're not going to win every battle in this war. The war's already won. The prophet says, oh, yes. Yes, sir. Yeah. A Holy Ghost-filled person, you're right in the place then to be driven to do those things. You've just put yourself up as a target. Because now you attract the attention of the devil because he sees you in the spirit. You're getting back into the line of your calling once again. There's potential now that he can see you're going to start doing damage to his kingdom. Because when you're out of the line of our calling, we don't do any damage to the kingdom of the devil. Yes. You know what we do? We do damage to the kingdom of God. Because we get in the way of other people. We do all kinds of things to frustrate believers. Because we're not in the spirit. We're not in our position. But the moment you get in the spirit once again and you start moving into your position and your calling, Satan starts paying attention now. He says, yay, this is exactly what I feared. That's why you find the devil, he can sense certain things. Before Moses was born, if you go and read Josephus, he says, it was Jannes and Jambres and those kinds of people that stirred up Pharaoh at that time and said, there's been certain events happening in the heavens and certain constellations have fallen into line. One of the Hebrew children who's been born is a deliverer. And Pharaoh said, destroy all the men children. Now there was a sense, it was the devil through spiritual wickedness who knew something else was taking place. Just as much as when the Lord Jesus Christ was born. Exactly the same thing. That Herod and his forces were stirred up at that time, were inspired exactly at that season to destroy the men children up to 2 years old in Bethlehem. The devil, he can sense things, friends. And his purpose and his desire is to stop something in its infancy. Yes. Before something gets strength and is established and has put roots down. So when you find the Lord starting to do something inside of your life once again, Satan wants to try to attack it before it becomes established. Yes. He wants to try to cut it down before it's taken root and it's starting to bring forth the fruit, the potential of what it is. And that's how he's always worked. And friends, let's be wise. And one thing about it, when you and I have been knocked down once in the past by the devil, our Father, he watches us. He encourages us, strengthens us, and then he puts us back into that same position once again down the way. And the expectation of heaven is upon us that we're not going to make the same mistake that we did last time. That we've learned, that we've covered up that gap, that we're better equipped. That you're more seasoned soldiers in the war to face up to that condition. And friends, let's be wise at this time. Because the devil is near at this time. He's trying his best. So many people have told me. And just the other day now, I found out certain things taking place. And I said, oh, the Lord's bringing us back to the same place that you were a while back. And I just pray that each and every one of us have learned the lessons that we're supposed to learn, spiritually speaking, and are better equipped as sons and daughters of God. To do what God wants us to do in the midst of battle. That's why the prophet says, you just put yourself up as a target. When you're down there serving the devil, he just lets you slouch around any way that you want to. But once you take a stand for Christ, you've got the onto the other side then. You've taken your stand against him. The prophet says, then he trains every gun right around on you. Every temptation, everything that could be thrown at you, then you've got it. But what have you got? Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. But friends, that's why we need to come to times of prayer on a regular basis, seasons of consecration. Because after time of blessing, after time of progress, we start to get relaxed once again. You know, we start not to defend the places that we need to defend. They say that many cities, many fortresses in years gone by were overcome when the enemy came at their strongest point. Because those cities had been so long at liberty. And that strong defense had held for centuries gone by that they never even hardly defended their strong points anymore. And the enemy came, and instead of looking for the weak points that were well defended, they came and they attacked them right in their strong point because the people had relaxed. And it can be the same with us, friends. You know, sometimes because you've been doing something for so long and the Lord's been helping you for so long, be careful. Never take spiritual things for granted. Because the devil can come and attack you right in your strong point, not just your weak point. If you let your guard down, if you take it easy and he sees an opportunity, Satan is an opportunist. He's the master at doing those kinds of things. He'll come right in at that point where you've been strong before. And you'll be surprised. Hey, now you've been overcome in that place. It's because you didn't do what the scripture says. You didn't stand. You didn't watch and pray. But you gave him an opportunity. The prophet says, now, you weren't in a battle then. You were just slopping around. But now you've cleaned up. You're dressed up. You're shaved. You've combed your hair. You've put on a uniform. You've got a gun in your hand. Let's go, see? You're in battle. Not to show off, but to fight. Sure, when the temptations rise, put on the whole armor of God. And that's how we come, the spiritual armor. We need to come once again just to check up, to refocus, to check our strategies, to make sure that things are in the condition and the state that they should be in. He says, oh, I'm telling you, as soon as you say you've got the Holy Ghost, Satan's got every gun right on you, shooting you. Get ready for it because it's a coming. Don't you worry. Yes, sir. You're going to have plenty of trouble. But remember, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. That's what Paul said in the verse before, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But the problem is when you've had some prosperity for a season, you start to think it's your own strength. You start to think it's your own ability. But as long as we keep relying on him, saying, I'm strong in the Lord, I need his strength, I need to be in the power of his might, that's the way that we continue to overcome in this battle. And that's why it needs humility. Let's read what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5. You know, Peter was an ideal sort of a person to listen to. Because if there was ever a man who didn't listen and then got knocked flat down by the devil, it was Peter. Because Peter had been warned by the word himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, to say, Peter, be careful. Satan has desired you to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. And then Jesus, right in the hour of darkness as it approached, Jesus said directly to Peter, said, Peter, you're going to deny me, my friend. And he says, I'll never deny you. My friend, don't you ever answer back to the word. When the word comes, like our scripture in the beginning, submit yourself. That's the key to a believer. Submit and resist. And that's how you'll always overcome. You've got to submit yourself to the word. Submit yourself to the Lord. And then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But Peter didn't submit himself to the word. There was the word warning him of what was to come. Telling him, Peter, this is a perilous time, perilous condition. Be careful. You're going to deny me. And he says, I'll never deny you. I'm stronger than that. I'm Peter. I'm the rock. And then Jesus says, before the cock crows twice, you deny me three times. And Peter had been so self-confident in his own strength because he'd had a blessing. They'd cast out devils. They'd seen the healing of the sick. Jesus had proclaimed blessing on him and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, My Father in heaven revealed this to you. Be careful. None of us should ever get to a condition we don't submit ourselves to the word. Because the word comes as a warning, friends. And if you don't heed the warning of the word, we become exposed to the enemy. We're entering into a situation now we're not equipped. We don't have the armor on the way that we should. And then Peter finds himself embarrassed there, warming at the enemy's fire there in the judgment hall. But even before that in Gethsemane, think of how many times he got warned. There was Peter, James, and John. Jesus takes them and says, watch with me. Watch and pray. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then Jesus goes to pray and he comes back and he finds them sleeping once again. And Jesus says to them a second time, watch and pray. Be alert, be vigilant, be careful, watch at this time. And pray, commit yourself in prayer. Because your spirit is willing. You're a believer, but your flesh, you're not in the condition to face up to this trial that's coming. And again, they slumbered. They weren't vigilant. They weren't sober, like the scripture we're just going to read. They weren't in the right spiritual condition to face up to that darkness that came, that oppression that came at that time, that persecution. And then they found themselves scattered. And that's why Peter now, having learned that lesson for himself, he comes in 1 Peter 5. We'll read it from verse 6. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Then he gives the warning. Be sober. Friends, this world makes you drunk. Remember, Jesus says, do not be drunk with the cares of this life, with the nausea of this age, with this riches and this easy life and all this, you know, the technology that's all around. Spiritually speaking, it can make you drunk. You'll be in a condition that things aren't clear, things aren't in focus. But he's warning us, Peter says, be sober. Spiritually, stay sober, stay alert. Let your senses be the way that they should be, spiritually speaking. He says, be sober, be vigilant. And that's why I say it's so easy. Once you've had a wonderful time in the Lord, to relax and you let down your vigilance and you're not prayerful the way you were before. You're not getting up in the morning the way you were. You're not in the messages the way that you were before. You're not searching yourself before the Lord the way that you were because you've had a wonderful time of blessing. It's like you're just cruising and coasting on the blessing. Be careful because you always need vigilance because the devil, look what he says, because your adversary, the devil, that's very personal. He's your adversary, the devil. Personally, he's against you. The devil hates you and the devil hates me because we renounced him and we oppose him. And everything that we do is an irritation and a frustration to him in this age because he doesn't want to see people walking in the light. He doesn't want to see homes brought up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. He doesn't want to see the word made flesh. He doesn't want to see people pushing darkness out and living under the blood and there's light in their dwellings when there's gross darkness upon the people. That frustrates him tremendously. And that's why he's searching and he's probing and he's looking. And he's just waiting for that time that you put your guard down. When you lose your vigilance. And that's when he's going to take the opportunity to come against you. He says, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's waiting for his opportunity, like the lion there in the wilderness. It's waiting for the opportunity. The next verse, whom? Resist steadfast in the faith. Resist him. The prophet says it so many times. You do not have to defeat the devil. He's already defeated. Jesus completely defeated the devil. Completely. For a believer. But what we've got to do, we've got to resist. We've got to resist him, friends. Because he's going to come and he's going to try to oppress you. He's going to come and try to make you so tired and so weary. He's going to try to bring confusion, bring frustration, bring all manner of things that he can. To try to weaken you, to try to get you to put your hands down again. He knows he's never going to get your soul. Your soul is sealed into the kingdom. He knows that. But he doesn't want you to be effective. He doesn't want you to be in your position, in your post of duty, with the whole armor of God on. And that's what he's fierce, that kind of a believer. So he's going to work on you. Like it was in the first Exodus, like we were saying with Brother Wilmore. You know, when the taskmasters came and put oppressive burdens upon the people and had to work so many hours and stuff. It wasn't an easy condition to be in. And then Moses comes now with the word of deliverance to the people. And he comes and tells them, the Lord God of your fathers has sent me to deliver you. And it says, and the people hearken not unto Moses because of anguish of spirit. Because of the burden they were in, because of the natural things that were going through. When the message came to them to tell them, God has heard your cries, it's time for you to rise up and take your inheritance. They weren't in the right condition to do it. And Moses now, he said, hey, this isn't easy. And he went back to the Lord and he says, Lord, what should I do? And Moses had to try different things. And finally the people started to see what it is that Moses had come for. But that's how the devil comes. He wants to come many times with a preemptive strike. When he knows there's going to be something for you, maybe he can see you getting yourself in the spirit of prayer. You're going for a prayer meeting. What's he going to do? He's going to try to frustrate you before the service. Amen. You're going to get a text message, an email, telephone call. Children are going to get sick. The car's going to have a flat tire. You know, the landlord's going to have a bad day. There's going to be so many things he's going to use. And that is the wiles of the enemy. Because he always uses something to try to come to frustrate the purposes of God and the purposes of the children of God. That's why he says, be sober. Be vigilant. And friends, it's so necessary in this age. Because this age is such an age of technology. Such an age of interesting things. We could spend all our time on the internet looking at things that aren't sinful but are not beneficial. You can go and study all these real interesting things. All these things, and one thing leads to another. And you could spend days and days and days. But is it better equipping you for your calling or what? Is it redeeming the time? Is it the right use of the resources that you've been given as a soldier? Many times he wants to divert us onto those things. Or as believers, you find one of the most foolish things I've ever seen in my life is believers in the message testifying to other believers in the message. I've never seen such a bad use of the king's resources as that. Imagine two parts of the army trying to fight against themselves when there's a great common enemy which they're fighting against. Friends, never find you get yourself in that position. Never go and argue with other message believers. If people don't see it your way, if people don't agree with you, pray for them and leave it like that. That's not the right use of the resources of the king. The armor wasn't put on us. We weren't given the sword so we can clash swords with one another. The sword's supposed to do damage against the enemy. But you find these resources that you've been given, friends, if the devil can't get us one way, he's going to get us the other. Remember once before I showed it when David came there to the battlefield and there was Goliath. And David comes freshly anointed there. He's been anointed by the prophet. The Spirit of God is upon him. He's got the very instrument of Israel's deliverance there. 5 stones. He's got his slingshot. And he's anointed for it. He's predestinated to it. He gets to the battlefield. What does he meet first? Goliath, no? He meets his brother who's out of the spirit, Eliab. And Eliab says, you naughty young man. Who's looking after the sheep? And it was very easy for him to get himself caught up in a secondary battle that had nothing to do with the kingdom of God. And grieve off the anointing, grieve away the spirit of God. And then how would he have been able to go and face up to Goliath? The real battle on the battlefield. That's what the devil wants to do to us, friends. He wants to get us in all these secondary things that are really not that important after all. You know, this is what the battle is all about. The prophet says it in church order. He says, remember, God is looking to me to see that I stay in the word. And I'm looking to you all to see that you carry out the word, see? And keep it spiritual. You know, it's so easy in this age, even in our fellowship, that it's not spiritual. It's so easy to speak about other things. You know, they're so easy to talk about. Zimbabweans will speak about, Mugabe got in again and stuff. Friends, that's nothing to do with the kingdom of God. That's secondary issues. Don't worry about those kind of things. But he says, keep it spiritual. And remember, all the forces of the dark kingdom of Satan will be turned against you as you begin to grow in the Lord. He doesn't want to see growth. He doesn't want to see progress. He doesn't want to see believers that are learning the lessons, that are picking themselves up and saying, okay, I didn't do so well last time, but this time it's going to be different. The moment he sees that kind of an attitude, every gun of the enemy comes against you. But I'm so glad that the whole All the resources of the kingdom of heaven are at your disposal at the same time. Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord raises a standard against him every single time. And as long as we remain humble and just keep ourselves under our commander in chief, he's never lost a battle. He has the intelligence, he has the resources, he has everything that you and I need to overcome any condition that comes our way. But we've got to keep humbling ourselves before the Lord. We've got to keep submitting ourselves to him. When his word comes, you're listening to a message, something speaks to you in the message. When the Lord speaks to you in a certain way, go and visit this person, go and do that, stay away from this. Respond immediately. Like soldiers in the war. When you're in the midst of battle and the radio starts to crackle and you get on the radio and it's orders now from the commander-in-chief or from the headquarters and they're telling you, it's dangerous there. Get out of those woods immediately. Go northeast. Get yourself into that mountain range. Friends, in the army, you wouldn't sit back there and not take that seriously. You would pack your things immediately and head off to the place that you taught to go because, you know, there's an intelligence behind it. The people that have given those instructions know far more about the condition that you're in than you do yourself. They can see immediate present danger coming upon you. They can see a place of refuge for you. And that should be how it is with us with the word as well. When the word comes and warns us of certain things, the word wants to lead us to certain places. I think all the Lord really wants us to do is just humble ourselves and respond. Don't think about it too much. Don't use your own. Lean on your own understanding. But just follow his leadership. And that's the way that you'll find the devil's going to be frustrated every time. Because just at that time, the enemy's putting all his guns to blast you there. By the time he gets there, you're not there anymore. Because the Lord's moved you to a place of refuge, to a place of safety. It's not being intelligent, this, friends. He's the intelligence. It's not being clever or wise in our own eyes. But it's following him. That's how you've got to where you are so far. That's how I've got to where I am so far. Every time I've tried to do it myself, I've ended up on my back. And the enemy's been there and I've taken a blow from him. Because I'm not wiser than the devil and neither are you. I'm not stronger than the devil and neither are you. We rely on our chief commander. We rely on his intelligence, his power and his might. And that's how we overcome. Just coming to a close. Then we come to a time of prayer. He says, all the forces of the dark kingdom of Satan will be against you as you begin to grow in the Lord. And you must be soldiers, not just fresh recruits. Now I look at myself and I say, there's certain places where you can say you're still plenty green in these things. I'm sure you're the same. Sometimes you look at yourself and say, but how could I have done it like that? That was so foolish. What was I thinking when I did that? That's okay. That's how we learn. As long as we can go back, be honest with ourselves, be humble before the Lord, say, Lord, I'm really, really sorry. I really did mess it up there. There's hope because you can be better equipped through the things that you went through, remaining humble. He says, and Satan will come among you. He always does. He has his different tactics, his different seasons, and cause you to dispute with one another if he can. That's the prime tactic of the devil. To come among us, get us to disagree with each other, get us to argue, believe we don't fellowship with each other anymore. And we've lost the war. He says, turn him down just immediately because you're brethren and it's the enemy. And we're here to hold a standard in this evening time light. And we're depending on staying true to God till death sets us free. And that's what we intend to do. And I'm sure that's your desire as well. I don't know what you've been going through in your life. I don't know what you've been going through in these last couple of weeks, but whatever it is, friends, each and every one of us, we need to gird up our loins. We need to be vigilant. We need to be sober. We need, like Jesus said, watch and pray. Be watchful. Be alert. Be really focused on the things that you're doing. And be prayerful. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And friends, outside of prayer, I really don't understand how anybody can overcome spiritually without prayer. It's really impossible. How do you really resist the devil if you don't pray? It's in prayer that you really resist the devil. When you find that oppression is upon you, you get yourself in the word. Sometimes you try to listen to the messages, your mind is confused because of the oppression that is upon you. Like Brother Vlad says, you try to read your Bible and your mind is somewhere else. It's good then just to close your Bible and you get on your knees. And you start to wage spiritual warfare. And you declare war. And if you find it's your flesh that's bothering you, you put yourself on a hunger strike. You starve the body. You go on a fast. You say, oh, this body wants to govern me. I'm going to show this body who's boss. And you just take a couple of days and you don't eat. And the body will be wanting to say, but I was the one that was having preeminence just recently. You say, yeah, there's a change of governance at this time. I'm going to show you who really is boss. And you put yourself before the Lord. And the real spiritual warfare comes in prayer. And that's when you put your feet in the ground and you stand there like Paul says, having done all to stand. And you say, I'm not moving an inch, but I'm resisting this devil. I'm resisting this oppression. I'm resisting this present darkness that comes down against me. I'm resisting all this that the devil wants to do. And the Bible says, if you resist him, he'll flee from you. That's an incredible scripture. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Not just he'll depart from you, or that he'll leave you and give you a little bit of breathing space. He'll flee from you. He's going to huff and puff and make all kind of noise. And he's going to try to play with your mind, try to discourage you, try to anoint you in your flesh. And you just stand there. And Paul says, having put on the armor of God, having done all, still be standing. It's like when you're given orders in the battle and you're holding a key position and you're under the fire of the enemy. And the commander says, stay there. The Lord is depending on you. Doesn't matter what you have to go through, you stay there. That's what Paul said. Having done all, just stand. Stay in your post of duty. Just be faithful there. The Lord is relying upon you. And it's exactly the same as you and I. So friends, let's come to a time of prayer. Maybe we can stand. Let's put ourselves before the Lord today. Whatever we're going through, let's pray for one another. Ask Brother Vlad just to come and lead us in one song. Let's pray for Brother Maxwell and the sister that didn't manage to make it this evening. Brother George, who's away. Other saints, wherever they would be. Some at work, some in different places. Let's pray for ourselves. Pray for yourself. You know, that the Lord may really show you your spiritual condition, where you really stand at this time. And if there's need to refocus, if there's need to get the armor on tighter, excuse me, let's come into the presence of the Lord. Let's seek His grace upon this night. It's fine, bro.
Teach me, Lord, to wait.
They that wait upon the Lord.
They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait.
Yes, to wait.
Teach me, Lord, to wait. While hearts are aflame, help me humble my pride and call on your name. Keep my faith renewed. Keep my eyes on Thee. Help me be on this earth what You want me to be. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait.
Yes, to wait.
Teach me, Lord, to wait. I'm down on my knees till in Your own good time You will answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from You. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as seagulls, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to rest.
Let's all come to a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bring ourselves before Thee, Lord, upon this day, just as Your people. Heavenly Father, I would look into Thee, I would wait upon Thee, Lord, upon this day. Since this has come to a short time of worship here, let's sing that song. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. You know, every one of the promises is to the overcomer. And friends, that's the thing. At this age, it wants the easy things. You know, it wants the buy one, get one free. There's nothing like that in grace. It's to the overcomer.
Am I a soldier of the cross I fall, Lord of the land, and shall I fear to own His cross or blush to speak His name? And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown, yes. We shall wear a crown, yes. We shall wear a crown. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, wear a crown, wear a bright and shining crown. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Must I be carried to the skies on flower red beds of bees, while others fall to with the prize and seal through bloody seas? And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown, yes. We shall wear a crown, yes. We shall wear a crown. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown. And when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Are there no foes for me to face, must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown, yes. We shall wear a crown, yes. We shall wear a crown. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown. Shining crown. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Sure I must fight if I would reign. My courage, Lord, I'll bear the toil and do the pain supported by thy word. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown, yes. We shall wear a crown, yes. We shall wear a crown. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Wear a crown.
To close for us in a word of prayer, but I just wanted to read just a part of Joshua chapter 1, then the brother will close for us, just as a reminder of what the chief captain said to us under the Joshua commission. I'll read Joshua 1, we'll read from verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. May the Lord bless his word. If you can pray for us, brother. Let's bow our heads.
Heavenly Father,
yes, Lord,
we are coming once more at the end of this service.
Amen.
But we know that is not end.
Amen, Lord.
Like brother says, when we are encouraged in the Lord, devil will come.
Amen.
But we know, Lord, your word says that everything is going well for believer.
Amen. Amen.
You made those things, O
yes,
Lord. We want to just ask if you can anoint our eyes.
Amen.
That we can see which directions you want to lead us, O Lord.
Amen, Lord. Yes.
Because when you lead your people into certain way, O Lord, that is squeeze whatever. Many times you want to steer our nest, that we will pray more, that we will lean more on you, O Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, we want to just ask if you can renew once more our strength, O Lord.
Please, Lord.
That if you can renew once more our vision, O Lord.
Amen.
That we can see, O Lord, because we know that there is no vision, O Lord, we perish.
Amen.
O Lord, we know even that we really, we just have to wait upon you, O Lord.
Amen, Lord.
Prophet, he was prophet, O Lord. But he was so humble that at the pulpit he didn't do himself anything.
Amen.
Just he says, I can't do anything.
Amen.
I just wait upon the Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Upon the angel of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh Lord, help us, like we've been singing that song, to wait upon you.
Yes,
because
Lord.
There is promise, those that wait upon you, you will restore their strength.
Yes, Lord.
Oh Lord, not just ordinary strength, you will restore eagle strength, oh Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, help us, oh Lord,
Amen.
That we can stay by your grace in this evil age, oh Lord.
Please, Lord.
This evil day, oh Lord,
Amen.
When we see that our brothers, they are pressed here and there,
Amen.
Oh Lord, from many people, oh Lord, we just want to ask that you change those people, that those
yes.
people can see that their thinking can be changed, that everything will be changed, O Lord.
Amen.
Maybe just that thing what they are looking for, O Lord,
Amen.
That they can see that people, your people are different people, O Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, we want to just ask your mercy. Be
Please,
with us.
Lord.
You provide our way, O Lord.
Please, Lord.
O Lord, because we know, like we've been singing those songs, what a friend we have with Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
You are taking care of us,
Amen,
wherever
Lord.
We go. Even there is darkness, even there is sunshine.
Amen.
O Lord, we want to be thankful for everything.
Yes, Lord.
Just open our eyes.
Please, Lord.
We want to ask even for our children, O Lord.
Amen.
May your hand will be upon
Please,
them.
Please, Lord.
We want to take care
Please,
of
Lord.
Them, but Lord, Amen. We see that we are short.
Amen.
But you are not short.
Amen.
Wherever
Amen.
They go, to school, to preschool, wherever, O Lord, may your hand will be upon
Please,
them.
Lord.
We want to ask even
Please,
those
Lord.
Brothers couldn't come upon.
Amen.
O Lord, we see many brothers used to come, but they are not coming.
Yes, Lord.
They are coming maybe Sundays. O
Amen.
Lord, you just do something that they
Please,
will
Lord.
Have more desire for about you, O Lord.
Please,
that
Lord.
They will come, even Wednesdays, Fridays.
Amen.
Maybe they can, maybe they can, O Lord.
Amen.
If they can, O Lord, do something.
Please, Lord.
Oh Lord, we want to ask him and have a pastor renew
Please,
his strength.
Please, Lord.
Renew his vision.
Amen.
That he can come with inspiration and
Please,
feed
Lord.
Us. By, with your grace, oh Lord.
Yes,
Lord. Your spirit. Be
Please,
with us,
Lord.
Oh Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we ask. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless saints. May that we to pray.
We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Thou Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Thou Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Thou Satan rages, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power in the name.